And I guess that would mean it is being recorded. It is recorded. That was the number one question I got. So hopefully the system will work as it should, and we're going to have this recorded. Again, I'm Scott Newton-Smith. Thank you all so much for jumping on. A little over a week ago, we didn't even know we were going to do this. And I knew about this, that Joel had this material and had been wanting to share it for a while, and I just kept kicking it around. And finally, I just said, man, can you do it? And we were actually going to do this as a private thing and maybe just share it with the CD of the month that we do. And I said, man, what do you think about just opening this up and maybe allow for some question and answer time and that sort of thing? And I knew the power of what he's going to share because I'd already heard about it. And so we decided to do that. So this is really a great, great thing that so many could come on. I mean, the room is really full right now. Folks are really coming in left and right. And I'm just looking at the list in front of me, and I'm just tickled to death about it. So the fact that all y'all could join us is great. Let me just dive right in. You know, Joel Sutherland, the first thing I want to say about him is that he is one of my best friends in the world. He recently was interim pastor at Second Baptist Church, Warner Robins, great church down there in Georgia. And a lot of people didn't even know Joel, as a matter of fact, that we were friends. And I thought everybody knew that simply because Joel and I, not only have I preached for him when he was a pastor many times, we started the internet radio show for pastors together at Sermonators.com. And some of y'all are familiar with Sermonators.com. Again, that's an internet radio show for pastors. We talk about preaching and time management principles for busy pastors. So we had done that for a while, and we talk on a regular basis, and we've just done a lot of different things together through the years. But Joel pastored at Liberty Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. And how long were you at Liberty, Joel?
Almost 10 years, Scott.
Almost 10 years. And that church set records. I mean, it was one of the fastest growing churches in Georgia. It was, Liberty was recognized as one of only five churches to grow 2% for 10 consecutive years. And it was in the top 25 fastest growing churches for 1 3-year period. And during his last year there, they had a baptism rate of 1 out of 11. That's one baptism for every 11 members. And the national average, if you didn't know, is 1 out of every 43. So they were really bringing a lot of people to Christ. He has since joined the Georgia Baptist Convention as a consultant. He was chairman of the Committee on Committees for the Southern Baptist Convention, which is a very influential position. That was in 2010. He served on the administrative and the executive committee of the Georgia Baptist Convention. He's been the chairman of the nominating committee of the Georgia Baptist Convention. As you know, he's serving with them now, as I just mentioned. And he has a personal website, joelsutherland.com, and that's Joel Sutherland, SoutherlandD.com. That's his personal website and blog, and that's dedicated to helping churches with social media and ministry. And that's another thing that's kept us together and kind of on the same track is a lot of you know that here in our ministry, we are now developing internet-based outreach programs for the local church as a part of what we're doing outside the pulpit. And Joel is big on educating churches about using social media to reach more people and do better ministry. So he's becoming very much a sought-after name for that. But one of the things he did in his pastorate was he shared with his church this simple 17-minute prayer plan, and it was one of the most popular things he ever did from the pulpit. Joel, great to have you on the call, man. I'm so glad that you're here. And thank you for giving your time today. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad to do it.
You're just volunteering this and giving this of your time and of yourself, and I really think it's going to be beneficial. What prompted you, first of all, before you dive into the training, you know, what prompted you to put together this plan? Obviously, this is something the Lord put on your heart, but circumstantially or wherever you were in ministry as a pastor, what was the need?
Well, I'll tell you what happened, Scott. It started off as a Sunday morning sermon, and then that night I came back, and I preached a Sunday morning sermon on prayer, and that night I came back and decided, well, I'll equip the church to know how to pray, you know, after that. And so I just did, you know, on a Sunday night, a 30-minute outline of really what was my own personal prayer agenda, you know, how I did it myself. And it just took off, like you said. I had people, church members, coming to me weeks later and saying, "That has been the best advice I've ever received in my whole life on prayer. I followed it exactly. It works out exactly right." Well, it kind of went from that, and just the enormous feedback I got. And then I started having people who had missed that night who wanted it and wanted me to elaborate on it. And so we went from that into I created kind of a 1 or 2 session discipleship course that walks people through this, how to pray and, pray for 17 minutes and love it. And so it just really, it started off as a Sunday morning sermon, and just because of the feedback, just kept developing and kept developing over time.
Wow. Well, it really touches a nerve, I think, because a lot of us are frustrated in our prayer life. And I'm not just talking about people that have been saved, for 2 weeks and they're trying to figure all this out, but folks that have been saved for decades. I know how even in the ministry, in my own life, so much comes in. There's so much on my plate. I could work 10 hours a day, never get it all done. So many projects going on, so much happening, that even in the midst of service to the Lord, we find it very challenging to carve out even 17 minutes. And then to make that feel and then to come away from that feeling like that we've actually done something that that's going to impact eternity, and that it's been focused, valuable, life-giving time with the Lord. And
right.
So in a day of busyness, I just know a lot of us are frustrated and want a plan, a workable plan. But not only that, but just knowing what to do. How many preachers, and I've done this, but how many preachers have stood up and said, "We need to pray, we need to pray, we need to pray, we need more prayer," but then don't tell us how to pray.
Right.
Don't
right.
give us a plan. And so a lot of people are challenged in the area of prayer. Yeah, we need to be praying, but we're when it comes to how to pray, it's kind of like Bible study. It's like, where do I start? What do I say? So let's dive right into this, Joel. Just start off, and let's get to the meat.
Okay. Scott, let me say, just right up front, that I don't consider myself an expert on prayer. As a matter of fact, I was so taken back by how popular this was. It was a little bit humbling, because I by no means would ever – I'm not going to write a book on prayer or set my prayer life up. But it's like you said, it's a plan that can be followed, that you don't hear the word fun or engaging, a lot of times put with prayer, but that's really what it becomes. And let me say up front, it's not the plan for prayer, it's a plan for prayer. And so, there may be other things that people want to incorporate into this or a plan, but this is just one plan that I've used and just refined over the years that, has resonated with other people as well. And to kind of take me on my prayer journey, just real quickly before we dive in, I was young in the ministry, did not have a consistent prayer life like I wanted, decided one day I was going to get up and, man, I was going to just pray heaven down one morning. And so, I get up early in the morning, I get on my knees, I start praying, and I just prayed for everything in the world. I mean, I prayed for family, I prayed for church, I prayed for the world, prayed for the government, the president, and for myself. And my plan that day was to spend an hour in prayer. And I prayed for the dog, everything. I prayed for everything I could think of, And I just thought, man, I may have been here 2 hours, praying. I have prayed and prayed and prayed. And I looked down at my watch, and when I said amen, I had prayed for 7 minutes.
Yes.
And so I immediately realized, hey, I'm no expert at this. And when I share that story a lot of times, that's immediately when church members begin, and even pastors begin to say, oh my goodness, that's exactly where I am. And so what I want to do with this today is just kind of help people, give them confidence in a couple of things. Number one, you do not have to pray an hour. Now, I'm going to give you a plan that you can morph into an hour, but you don't have to pray an hour every morning. I mean, it'd be great if you could, but I understand the culture we live in. But what I want to do is give you confidence in praying for 17 minutes a day. No magic number about 17 minutes. It's kind of how the plan, the formula worked out in the beginning. Because the fact is, if I ask the audience who's listening today, Scott, if you're not praying, who is? we kind of push prayer over in the corner for someone else to do. But the fact is, if you don't pray for your children, if you don't pray for your grandchildren, if you're not praying for your spouse, probably no one on the face of the planet is. And that disturbs me to think that my children, if I'm not praying, you know, or my wife's not praying, no one's praying for them. For a pastor in a church, you know, a pastor doesn't want to be the only person praying for his church, but the average pastor, I think the last study I read, prays for 10 minutes a day. So, I mean, if that's all the prayer a church service is getting, we are in bad trouble in the kingdom. So we've got to get this thing down to where somebody might, you know, be super spiritual and say, oh, just 17 minutes a day. Well, imagine if every person in a church went from 0 to 17, the power of God that could fall on that church.
That's a very good point.
Sure. And so we're not going from 16 to 17 minutes. We're not going from 30 down to 17 minutes. By and large, we're going from 0 or 2 to 17 minutes, which percentage wise is an incredible increase in the amount of time we're spending in prayer. So that's kind of the goal. Now, if you pray 15 minutes already a day, then you can take this same plan. I'm going to show you kind of how to tweak it to your own desires later on. It can turn into a 30-minute a day prayer plan. But we're going to start with 17. That'll be our base, and then they can go from there. And so I think that for the average Christian, Scott, that the problem is not that we don't have a desire to pray. The problem is, as a matter of fact, I think prayer is the one subject you can preach on and I can preach on, and the minute we announce the topic, people have determined they're going to come to the altar and repent when the service is over. Nobody ever feels like they pray enough. And I'll say in my own personal life, prayer is not something you conquer. It's something you manage from now till Jesus comes. I don't think God's going to come and I'm going to say, "Whoo, I remember when I licked prayer back in 2012. It's one of those things that you have to come to terms with. You're always going to have this feeling like you maybe could pray more or better or whatever. So don't let that feeling disturb you about prayer. You know, just know that it's something you're going to manage. It's a tension you're going to manage really for the rest of your Christian life. My wife will tell you, I have used notebooks. My prayer life has morphed over the years in various ways. It's just something I continually work on. So that's what we're wanting to do today, is just kind of start the process. I think the fact that all these people called in, dozens and dozens of people have called in, they have the desire to pray. Now what they're looking for is kind of the plan to pray.
Exactly.
And so let me just kind of dive into that. Because really the first thing you have to work out for your prayer life is the logistics of your prayer life, not talking about the actual praying part, but the logistics of being prepared to pray. Because if you don't get the logistics down, you'll get frustrated, you'll get embarrassed, you'll get upset. And when I talk about logistics, there's three main things that I talk about. The first thing we've got to make sure we're doing is that we have a time to pray. Now, that has really changed over the years. Back when America was a very industrialized type nation and almost everybody in America worked in a factory of some sort, and that factory time was, you know, 8 to 5, 7 to 4, 6 to whatever it may have been, we're not that society anymore. We're now an information-based economic system where I had dinner with about 10 people Sunday night, and I don't think there was one person at the table that worked an 8 to 5 job. You know, there were consultants there. So the schedules, I mean, half of them worked from home. You know, it's a different society. So based on that, it used to be, you know, 30 years ago, we said everybody ought to get up at 6 a.m. to pray, or, you know, 5 a.m. to pray. I'm not going to say that. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 5:3. The psalmist said, "My voice you'll hear in the morning." Matthew 14, the Bible says that Jesus went to the mountain in the evening to pray. Mark 1, it said he went in the morning. Luke 5, it said he withdrew often to pray. And in Luke 6, it said he prayed all night long. So when you look through the scripture, and there are a whole lot of more verses, a whole lot more verses I could pull out. But when you look through the scriptures, here are the prayer times we see: early in the morning, all night long, throughout the day, and at night.
Yeah.
So here's what I would say to that: pick a time. you know, I like to pray in the mornings. I think it's most effective. My whole prayer list is geared toward that morning time. It doesn't have to be at 6 a.m. It doesn't have to be at, it could be at 10 a.m. for some people. It can be at noon. For when I was in the business world, I would take my lunch a lot of times and do my quiet time with, you know, there. For some people, their schedule may work out. It's better to pray at night. You know, I don't think there's any way in the world that a Christian is going to get to heaven and God is going to say, man, you blew it. You prayed at the wrong time. You shouldn't have been praying at night. You should have been praying 2 hours before that. I think what's going to happen is that it's going to be more important that we prayed, not a particular time of day. That's grace for our day.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I would say. Logistic number one, you've got to work out the time of prayer. That is, you ought to have a time of secluded prayer on a daily basis. And as much as it can, it's scheduled in, it's every day, it's consistent. If you don't have a time, for example, first thing when I get up in the mornings, your tendency is to say, well, I'll catch up later on in the day, and that catch-up time never comes. So the best thing to do is just sit down and look at your schedule and say, what is the best time for me to pray? Not for somebody else to pray. Doesn't matter when the preacher prays. Doesn't matter when my spouse prays. When's the best time for me to pray? And that becomes a daily occurrence. There are also going to be other times when you're going to want to pray more, and that's going to be, you know, throughout the day. Spend a few minutes at night closing the day in prayer. And there may even be times in the Christian's life when it's necessary to pray all night long. I've done that. I know you have as well, Scott. But pick that time when it's best for you to pray, and write it down on a piece of paper and say, I'm going to pray at 7 a.m. I'm going to pray at 10 a.m. Doesn't matter when it is. Just make sure you have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's logistics number one. Logistics number two is there's got to be a place where you pray. The Lord said that in Matthew 6:6, enter into your closet, shut the door, get some privacy, and pray. Now, I don't think it has to be in what we would call a closet today. Jesus often retired to the wilderness to pray, a place of seclusion, or to the garden to pray. You don't want to pray in a crowded place or a place where you're afraid of interruptions. You're just going to need to find a secluded place to pray. If you can, you know, a place that you can use in all seasons. You know, a lot of people would love to pray outside, and that may be something you can do in the summertime. But then in the wintertime, you know, that's probably not going to work. So,
right.
You know, where's that place that 90% of the time I can find seclusion? And that is a difficult problem for a lot of people.
Yep.
Where can I go? This is going to be hard to believe, but as a pastor, I had a hard time finding a comfortable, secluded place to pray. If I went to the office at church, then somebody was liable to knock on my door, even early in the mornings. Even if I said, do not disturb. And I would hang signs on my door sometimes, you know, and the staff member just need me or something.
Right.
They may not even knock on the door, but if I had the feeling they might knock on the door, I want seclusion when I pray, you know. At home, it was not good. I've got, you know, a wife and 2 girls, and it was hard to find a quiet spot there. Most often, I would get in my vehicle and drive to a secluded place and pray in my car, oftentimes early in the morning. That worked out for me. Everybody's situation is different. The main thing you want to do is make sure you have a place to pray. If you don't have a scheduled time, you probably won't pray. If you don't have a secluded place, you probably won't pray either. And I've had people say to me, oh, Pastor, I just pray whenever and wherever. just, you know, as things come to my mind. That's good as supplemental praying. That's not going to be good for a consistent daily walk with the Lord, because you'll wind up going 3 days. And
we have an enemy. We have an enemy who's working against our prayer. So if you say, well, I'm going to go to Starbucks today and have my prayer time, every person in town you know
will
walk into Starbucks that day. I mean, you know, not that all those folks are tools in the hand of the enemy. It's just I know that Satan works overtime to keep us distracted. And if we just say, well, I'll just pray whenever I pray, not that we shouldn't always be in a mindset of prayer and be shooting up those little arrow prayers, as we call it. But you're talking about a time of focused prayer.
Right. Right. Well, you may literally agonize in prayer. And that's not something you want to do in a public place, in all probability. So find the time, find the place, organize your life so you have that time and have that place. The third thing is you've got to have a plan of prayer. In my opinion, a good prayer life always involves a pencil, paper, and a plan. You have got to have a plan to pray, and that's where most people get frustrated. So that's where I want to go next, Scott, is with that 17-minute prayer plan. And maybe before we dive in there, somebody might have a question about time or place. And
okay.
I don't know if you want to throw that open or not to see if they do, or they may be ready to
absolutely.
Dive on to the next point.
If you have a question for Joel, what you need to do right now, if you have a question, just hit *6 on your phone. And you'll be given the opportunity to confirm that, and that'll show up on my queue, and we will unmute you so you can ask your question. So if you have a question, just hit *6. Again, *6 will put you in the question queue. Anybody have questions or comments for that matter? I was kind of hoping we'd have a heckler come on today and give Joel a hard time. If that's going to happen. Okay, well, you've done a good job with that, Joel. Time of prayer, place of prayer, and you're about to give us a plan of prayer. And just to reiterate what you were saying, too, is that you're obviously not limiting it to 17 minutes. And
no.
We also know that based on what you're going to give us today, you may end up spending a lot more than that based on the traction and the momentum you get in your prayer life during that 17 minutes.
That's
like
right.
You said, if we could just take most of our church members and take them from the 0 or the 2 minutes or the 5 minutes they're spending to 17 minutes across the board, it would change a lot of our churches. So this is a plan for those that don't know what to do or need to take it up a notch or just have never had a plan or maybe need to re-energize their plan, especially here in the new year. For a lot of us, we've said we want to spend more time in prayer in 2012.
That's
we
right.
may have even said we want to spend an hour a day, in 2012 in prayer. But
right.
we're starting from 0 or 1 or 5 minutes a day, if that, and then trying to move to that. This is our plan. So let me say this, though, before you dive into the plan part. And this is something that my wife always alerted me to and shared with me another perspective, and that is it's easy for a lot of us who are in full-time ministry and who have an office to ourselves to stand up in front of a group of church members and say, you need to have a time to pray and you need to have a place to pray. And we know it's mm-hmm. very easy for us to walk in an office or get in our car and drive away. And one of the groups of folks that have always had a hard time with that is mothers of young children, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met a lot of young mothers who, to some degree, have felt guilty that
sure.
they couldn't find a regular time or couldn't find a regular place. You know, they fall in bed exhausted at night. You know, one of the biggest insults to a young mother is, do you work?
Right. Right.
What do you mean,
right.
do you work? I mean,
right.
they work more than we do. And so
right.
Stay-at-home moms fall in the bed exhausted. They can't get up early enough. There's always plenty of stuff to do. Kids are screaming after them all the time, needing help and attention. And
mm-hmm.
it's hard
mm-hmm.
for them to find that time and that place. And so, you know, it may take really all the creativity you have just to get a little bit of time and just a little bit of space. I literally recall hearing the story of Susanna Wesley, who literally would take her apron and pick it up over her head. By the way, she had 19 kids.
Mm-hmm.
One died, but, 18 living. She'd pick her apron up and put it over her head and would hold her Bible and have her time, her quiet time under that. And,
mm-hmm.
and the family
mm-hmm.
knew that, I think it was Susanna Wesley, but anyway, you get the point. The family knew that when the apron's on the head, don't mess with mama. So, I mean, it,
right.
it may be that kind of creativity that comes out. I know it's tight. I know some have, job situations where, it's 24/7, and then if you're not working, you're exhausted, and it's hard to get that time. So I just want to put everybody's mind at ease. Maybe your 17-minute plan may start as a 12-minute plan. Maybe it's not the ideal place that you find yourself for prayer, or even the time may not be ideal, but it's all you can get. So, God understands that, of course, and anything is better than nothing. So hopefully that may help one or two people on the call or who may be listening later. But anyway, Joel, let's dive into the plan.
Sure. And along those lines, Scott, that's why I say everybody's job is different. Everybody's life is different. That's why I don't have how to pray 59 minutes and love it. We're not asking you to carve out an hour. We're asking you to carve out 17 minutes. So most mothers can find, a small child's going to take at least a 30-minute nap in the middle of the day or whatever. Or you get some time at night. Businessmen, travel, have some of the same problems. Right. Just find your 17 minutes or however long that is somewhere during the day. Let's talk about plan. There are two inherent dangers when it comes to making a prayer plan. Here they are. One is over-planning. One is under-planning. The person who overplans their prayer list is the person who makes a very detailed prayer list and obsesses over it. And they spend more time with the list than they do with the Lord. So, it's got this prayer list. It's written out beautifully. You could publish it as a manuscript. It's got curly cues in the corners. You've got to have the exact kind of notebook or the perfect kind of paper, or it's got to be exactly like this, literally it's a work of art, and the grammar's perfect, it's just this prayer list that's so overplaying, and you spend 20 minutes a day working on the list and 2 minutes praying and think that's prayer. The other is just as bad. That's under planning or no planning, and that is bow your head and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And in both people wind up frustrated in their prayer lives. The person that overplans really winds up with not a lot of prayers answered from the Lord because they're not praying a whole lot. They're thinking about prayer a whole lot, but they're not praying. The person who underplans usually suffers from a wandering mind. And so they get frustrated because 1 minute into the prayer time, their mind's gone down a tangent. So have a list, have a plan. We're going to talk about the plan, but don't overplan it. Don't underplan it. Just make sure, that you've got that plan together that's going to help you pray. So
very good.
Let's talk about here's my 6-point plan, and I'll give it, and I'll give how much time with each one to get to 17 minutes. Number one, I start off with praise. For 1 minute, that's the time the psalmist said, entered his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise,
mm-hmm.
bless his name. That's the time when I literally spend 1 minute to start my prayer time off, praising the Lord for who he is. Now, there's all kinds of ways to do that. When I read my Bible, I look for verses that I can use in that praise time. Most of the time, I sing a song to the Lord during that time, and I can't sing. I'm a terrible singer. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. God doesn't care, So I just sing it the best I can. I sing a song of praise to the Lord. It could be a Bible verse. You're praising God for characteristics and things like that. But it's that 1 minute where you're just going to brag on Jesus, brag on God for who he is. I'm going to spend a minute doing that. And you can read the Psalms and get so many verses and chapters out of Psalms on praising the Lord. 1 minute. Second thing, part of the plan, is spend 2 minutes on confession. That is confession of sins. I want to get a clean heart. The Lord's worthy of praise, whether my life is right or not. That's why I start off with praise. But I don't want to start asking for anything until I've got a clean heart before the Lord. And a good prayer verse for there is Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me into the way everlasting. Oftentimes I'll start off that confession time praying that verse. God, search my heart today. Show me where I've sinned. What do I need to confess? I always, in my prayer time, I probably 99% of the time, I claim the promise of 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mm. And I just say, Lord, you said if we confessed, you would forgive and cleanse us, and so I'm going to confess. And then I confess sin. Now, this becomes interesting for some people because, you know, you've got some people who feel the need to confess everything they've ever done over and over again, which is not necessary. If you've confessed it, the Lord will forgive you. And then you have those who almost say, you know, good church-going folks, well, I haven't done anything wrong, you know, recently. And I don't think I've ever went in my prayer time without a reason to confess something. And literally, Scott, I keep a list of the culprits I need to confess the most. I keep a list of things I keep confessed just in case. Hmm. You know, God, I'm prone to develop this in my life. And if that's developing in my life now, I want you to forgive me. I feel like it could be. And then I have those specific requests that those specific confessions that, you know, hey, maybe I was hateful to my wife, or maybe I said something to my children I shouldn't have done, or something along those lines, or, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know, God will bring those to your mind when you start confessing on a regular basis. Our sins don't go away through osmosis. I often say when I preach, we confess them or compile them, one or the other. Time does not equal forgiveness. Confession equals forgiveness. And so every Christian every day should spend time asking the Lord to forgive them of their sins. And that keeps a clean heart. It keeps an attentive heart. It makes sure you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The more you confess, you'll discover the shorter amount of time it takes for the Holy Spirit to convict your heart of sin. Just a softer heart. So, I usually try to write down some. Oftentimes, you know, I want to see it in print. Here's what I did. I used to joke that, you know, some sins I wrote down in code so the devil couldn't see what my, you know, what that weakness was, or what, you know, whatever, and then flush it, tear it up, and, you know, flush it down the toilet, throw it in the garbage, yeah. or whatever, you know. But
right,
2 minutes in confession. Now, that's almost laughable because most people will say, you know, when you really start doing that, you're going to say, I need more than 2 minutes. And for most of us, that's true. But that's a good place to get started, is 1 minute in praise, 2 minutes in confession.
I would suggest, specificity.
Yes.
You know, instead of, Lord, I've been real prideful lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something more general like that that we tend to throw out, you know, would be, you know, something more specific would be, you know, Lord, you know, I did such and such in my church, and I know that my motive, it should have been to minister to you and to your people, but it was really just so that my name would get recognized.
Mm.
That was prideful
mm-hmm.
of me. That's something mm-hmm. very specific. You know,
okay.
And so I think that's important. The second thing I want to add is that we're not saying that that confession is some kind of an ongoing work that keeps you saved.
No, right.
You know, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible says in Romans 8 that there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's more like it is in my marriage. If I offend my wife because of my belligerence or selfishness, it doesn't make us unmarried. But if I'm going to maintain fellowship with her, I need to go and say, Scarlett, I am sorry for this specific thing that I did that was wrong, and I know that offended you. And that restores fellowship there. And that's really what this confession time is about for the believer, for the saved person. And that
that's
is,
right.
You know, restoring that fellowship with Christ. And it
sure.
And obviously place that early in the prayer.
Yeah, and really, the worst, and no offense to anyone, the worst confession prayer, and we've all heard it and probably prayed it, is, Lord, forgive me for any sins I might have committed. You know, well, you have committed some, so let's just get honest, you know,
yeah.
and get specific,
mm-hmm.
you know, with what you're talking about. All right, the third thing, Scott, and this is the one that's probably the most overlooked in a person's prayer life, and number three is warfare. And spiritual warfare is one of those things that we get, that we overlook as Christians. You know, that's denominational. It doesn't matter if you're Southern Baptist or whatever your denomination is. We overlook spiritual warfare because you said it earlier, the enemy has a daily scheme. I think the Bible teaches that our enemy has a scheme against us. The word wiles translated in the King James is really the Greek word schemes. He has a scheme against your life to thwart your Christian life. We cannot walk around with our head in the sand thinking, everybody loves me and the world's made of marshmallows. No, the enemy is out to get you. He has a plan for your life. So one of the things that gets so overlooked is Christians do not engage in warfare or preparation for warfare, spiritual warfare, in their prayer lives. And so here's 3 minutes you can spend preparing to engage the enemy, because he will come after you today. How do I engage that enemy in how do I prepare to engage that enemy today? Well, let me give you some practical ways to pray through warfare, just a couple. One here, Scott, is where I do Bible memorization. Is I will spend a minute working on memorizing a Bible verse. Here's why. The Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's appropriate and fine and well-pleasing to the Lord to prepare to engage the enemy by memorizing Bible verses. And so here's where I do it. I spend about a minute on it every morning. Now, it takes me sometimes a long time to memorize. Sometimes I'll memorize a whole passage, maybe 6 or 7 verses, 8 or 10 verses. Most recently, I just memorized – the one I just completed was 5 verses, I think. The one I'm working on now is 1 verse. You know, it takes me – days and sometimes weeks to do that. I don't get in a hurry over it. I don't say I've got to have this memorized this week. I'm just going to spend a minute every day preparing for warfare and hiding the word of God in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I do during this prayer time is I pray through the armor of God.
As a part of your warfare time.
As a part of my warfare time.
Yeah.
So I turn over to Ephesians 6 and, you know, I pray, where Paul starts off and says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I pray to be strong in the Lord every day. Lord, I want to be strong in you today. And I know the enemy is coming after me. So by faith, I want to put on the armor of God. And I literally take that passage that's in Ephesians 6, and by faith, I put on that armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. Pray then through all of those pieces of the armor. So I feel like I'm prepared, as you know, at least I've done something to prepare that morning, so that when I engage the enemy that day, I have spent some time that morning preparing to engage the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I do here is pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit during this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I know if I'm going to engage the enemy, I need the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I need that because I know the enemy is going to come against me and try to get me away from all of that. So here I do. I'm memorizing Scripture. I'm praying through the armor of God. I'm asking the Lord to help me walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit today so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. And I spend about 3 minutes just really suiting up and armoring up for warfare and for battle during that warfare time. 3 minutes. So a minute in praise, 2 minutes in confession, 3 minutes in warfare. Number four is intercession. Spend 4 minutes praying for others. Intercession is praying for others. Our prayer life should not be consumed with praying only for ourselves. So spend 4 minutes praying for others. And it's so easy to do here. You know, I pray for every member of my family. You know, I pray for people's salvation, people's spiritual condition. I pray for church needs, ministry needs. I pray for the government officials because the Bible commands us to every Wednesday. I pray for the president, the vice president, my state senators, my state representatives.
Well, it almost sounded like you said the Bible commands us to do that every Wednesday.
No, sorry. The Bible commands us to do it. I do it every Wednesday. The way I do my prayer time is there's certain intercession I do every day, my family. I pray for my family every single day. Specific prayer requests for my wife every day. Specific prayers for my children every day. And then my intercession throughout the week is broken up by day.
I got you. Yeah, that's great. Yep.
Yeah. So for example, I pray for all my coworkers on Mondays. On Tuesdays, I pray for pastors I know. I have a list of dozens of pastors I pray for. On Wednesday, I pray for government officials, like I said. On Thursdays, I pray for extended family. On Thursdays, and on Thursdays, I pray for evangelists. I have dozens of evangelists I pray for on Fridays. So I do the intercession. There's some intercession I do every day. There's some that are day centric. You know, Monday I pray for this, Tuesday this. But it's when I'm praying for others. I'm not mentioning my needs at all. I'm pouring into others and begging on their behalf. You know, God, do this in their lives. You know, very specific prayers as much as I can. And Scott, when somebody says to me, you know, would you add this to your prayer list? That's where I put it, is in that intercession time. You know, at church we took up names of people that were lost and didn't know Christ, and that's where I put their names, was in that prayer time. And people are always amazed. A year later, I would say, tell me about the spiritual condition of your brother. I've been praying for him for a year. You know, and they're shocked I had remembered that, but they'd given me that name and I'd prayed for it. So 4 minutes in intercession, praying for others. It's just that simple. Minute in praise, 2 minutes in confession, 3 minutes in warfare, 4 minutes in praying for others. And then number five, 5 minutes in personal request. It's okay to pray for things that you need in your life.
What's interesting about it, Joel, is that when we say, hey, we're going to talk about prayer, you know, or how's your prayer life, or we need to pray, or boy, he's a praying person. When we think about prayer, often, even if it's just subconscious, this is really the first area we think of. We sort of equate prayer with personal requests. And,
sure,
and you're just now getting to it here.
You're almost finished with prayer by the time you get there. And I'll be honest, the part of my prayer time that energizes me the most is the first four things, to be honest. So you get this fifth thing. And one reason we're frustrated with prayer in general is we treat God like Santa Claus. You know, hey, here's what I need. Would you get to this and just let me know when it's under the tree? And that's kind of how shallow our prayer lives can become when we just – and here's the temptation. A lot of people want to start praying when there's a crisis in their life.
Yep.
And we all have Christ. I do. You do. Everybody listening have crises in their life. But if you only pray when you have a crisis, you only pray for yourself.
Oh, yes.
And when you do that, it doesn't feel right, and you know it doesn't feel right but you can't quite put your finger on what the problem is. And the problem is Christians, we're not just told to pray for ourselves. There's so much we're to accomplish in prayer beyond just ourselves. So, you know, Philippians 4:6 says, let your requests be made known unto God. So it's fine to pray for yourself, but yeah, it's way back in the list. It's way back in the list.
And it reminds me of the prayer Jabez. We haven't heard about that in about 5 or 6 years, but
sure,
you know,
sure.
Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory.
You're right, you know, right.
And those sorts of things.
And you got to be careful with the prayer Jabez. I'll be honest with you. I incorporate the prayer Jabez into my weekly prayer, but it's way back on the list of priorities where I'm not out there saying, I mean, I want God's favor and I want God to bless me, because the opposite of that is terrible. I don't want God's disfavor, you know,
right.
But I want to be living a life that's pleasing to the Lord to have that relationship with him. So anyway, let me give you some ways to pray for yourself. One of the best things you can do is pray through your roles in life.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, I pray that I would be a good husband to my wife. The Bible says I'm supposed to love her as Christ loves the church. Well, Scott, every man on this phone call would say, oh my goodness, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, I can promise you, you're not going to do it unless you're praying. So here's what I try to pray every day. Lord, you've called me to be the husband of my wife. You've charged me to love Sherry as Christ loves the church. Dear Lord, there's no way for me to do that in my flesh. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. Here's what I pray. Lord, show me one thing I can do today that would love her as Christ loved the church. You know, and so I'm trying to get down.
I bet you've seen God answer that many times.
Yeah, sure. And you're right. And you're trying to get down specific, you know, where just not just in general, but God, there may be something today where I can really show the love of Christ to my wife. Help me be attentive. And sometimes we blow it. I mean, sometimes when it's over, I say, that was my chance. I prayed for this morning and I just blew it, you know. But I'm aware of it. Now I get to confess something tomorrow and, pray it again. I pray that I would be the first thing I pray for is that I'd be a strong Christian, a good Christian. Because if I'm not a good Christian, it doesn't matter if I'm a good husband. I can't be a good husband unless I'm a good Christian. So I pray that I would be a Christian pleasing to the Lord every day. That's a role I have. I'm a child of God, so I pray about that role. I pray that I be a good father. I'm charged to bring up my children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So I pray God show me that today. And so there are just several roles. I mean, I have a list of about 10 roles that I have that I've discovered that, you know, I say, and that changes from time to time, by the way. I mean, you take some off, you add some to it. But I pray through those roles every day. And then I have, you know, special requests I pray for myself, you know, every day. You know, that are personal in nature, but, you know, everybody's going to have a different thing there when they pray for a personal request. 5 minutes there. We're up to 15 minutes so far.
Right.
And I close out number 6 with 2 minutes of thanksgiving. And that is where I'm thanking the Lord for what he has done, is doing, the prayers he just answered, the favor he just bestowed upon me. You know, there's so much to thank the Lord for. Have a list on my prayer list of things I just thank the Lord for regularly. So every day I try to, you know, thank the Lord, you know, for things like, and I won't read you the whole list, but for saving me, for my family, for daily bread. I thank the Lord for that. And then I spend about a minute doing that, and then a minute on some specific things that the Lord has done for me in the last, you know, 24 hours. And there are times, Scott, I'm in the shower and I'm thinking, you know, man, the Lord so blessed me a year ago. This happened this week. Man, the Lord so blessed me a while back. And I've told him thank you, but I don't remember this morning. I'm going to spend some more time thanking him again for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I did it enough back then, You know, so sometimes you're just overwhelmed by that. When you add all that up, you're at 17 minutes in prayer, and it goes by quickly. We'll throw it open for questions in a minute. Let me give a couple of points about that.
Okay.
In general, when you include all that in your prayer life, a couple things. You see how the prayer list can be easily added to increase the prayer time. So instead of spending a minute in praise, you may want to sing a whole song to the Lord and spend 5 minutes in praise. You know, you may have 10 minutes worth of intercession to do. You may have 5 minutes worth of warfare to do. It'd be easy to take this list and go into, you know, 30 minutes worth of prayer, because you could basically double all the times and spend 30 minutes in prayer. Or you can rearrange the times. You could do 5 minutes for everything on here. These times were kind of arrived at just from what people are most comfortable with, what they're probably the least comfortable with, and kind of just tweaking it so that it became, if I told everybody you got to praise for 10 minutes, people would become very uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
So surely we can do a minute. Surely God's worthy of a minute's worth of praise. The other thing I would suggest is literally set a watch. And stick to the schedule in the beginning. I have a countdown timer on my phone. I put it on 17 minutes, and you know, boom, 2 minutes, move on. 3 minutes, move on. 4 minutes, move on. Now, I don't do that every time because I've been doing it so long now, and you normally play longer than 17 minutes. But you get the point. In the early days, you kind of get a feel for what it is, because a minute can seem really long or really short depending on your personal comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so just look and stick to it
Wow.
All right. You want to see if anybody has any questions?
Boy,
that's
a lot. So good, man. That is so good. This is really, really rich stuff. And I know that a lot of people in this call, I'm guessing, are where they maybe have seen prayer as something to procrastinate on, maybe even that they dread, that they're actually maybe they're starting to get excited about,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe
mm-hmm.
tomorrow, you know, standing up or getting up in the morning and spending time in prayer. We're going to put it on Q&A mode. This is how this works. Very simple and straightforward. If you have a question, you're going to be muted, but if you'll click *6, it will unmute you, but it'll put you in the question queue, and I'll be able to you won't be unmuted. It'll just put you in the question queue. It'll flag me on my system here on my computer. I'm looking at the screen, and I'll be able to specifically unmute you. So we're going to do that now. If you have a question about any of this or a comment, just press *6, and it'll put you in the queue. Then I'll unmute you, and you'll have your chance to ask your question or make a comment. Now, I know we've got a handful of pastors on this call, and you can't tell me that they're not dying to have some input, at least, if not ask a question. Anybody at all, *6 puts you in the queue. You have a question about the layout. You have a question about, you know, the different segments, praise, confession, warfare, intercession, personal request, thanksgiving. Do you have any tips that you could add? I'm sure that there'd be others on the call who would benefit. Okay. Shannon Hayes on the call. Shannon, you're unmuted. Can you hear me, bro?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hey, Joel.
Good to have you, man, on the call.
Hey, great to be here. I really appreciate the wisdom here. And kind of one of those things as a pastor, you pray all the time, but sometimes you lose focus. And I really appreciate the focus and input you've given.
Absolutely,
do
too. Go ahead, Shannon.
I took some notes here, you know, along with everybody else that's listening, I'm sure. Maybe I can get on the call afterwards with Joel or somebody and just discuss a little more input into it. But I mainly just wanted to thank you and say it's good to hear from you.
Well, brother, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for being on the call and your comments. You know, you're right. We get so busy, even in the ministry, that we're, you know, prayer is almost like a drive-by. You know, on our way to preach a sermon, we're trying to shoot up a little prayer, and that's it for the day. you know, a lot of you are in demanding jobs. A lot of you are in situations where, you know, time is scarce. You know, you're not sitting on the couch watching 3 hours of TV a night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're seriously trying to find time, you know, and still find time with the family and still find time with other people to share. And we're going to talk about roadblocks in a minute, and that's going to wrap up the call in a minute when Joel shares five roadblocks or hindrances to prayer. We've got one more caller with a question, someone in Tennessee at area code 865-385. Go ahead and share your name or if you don't want to do that, you don't have to, but you can share with us. You're unmuted at this point.
That's fine. Joel, this is Maston Jackson, pastor of Bridgeview Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Your method here is well organized, but does it go to the overplanning end? I've been using a plan put together by Dr. Holly Miller, who is the pastor of Sevier Heights Baptist Church here in Knoxville. He shared it with pastors. I'm just curious. He shared it with us, and I know where I got the method that I use, but it is like a catalog compared to a good set of cliff notes here. And I'm just wondering, did you model this from someone else, or is this kind of an original thing with you?
Pastor, I wish I knew the answer to that question. I hate to take credit for something that, you know, I didn't develop, but I have so in my prayer journey in trying to develop a prayer plan that was good for me, I read so much and I put together, you know, and I grabbed everything I could. It's nothing in there is original. I'm the only person that's put it together this way, as far as I know. But I didn't follow a book that I know of. And if you turn to a book and it had those six things in there, you know, exactly laid out, and, you know, I'd say, man, I guess I read that somewhere along the way. But as far as I know, I just kind of took what I had received in a vapor and, as one preacher said, and poured it out in a flood, and this is kind of the way it came out. So,
well, it's well
no,
done.
Not one particular book or plan or anything that I followed.
Okay. Well, it's well done. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
for
you. Thank you.
Thank you, Maston. All right, we got another caller here at 706-621. Let's unmute. All right, give us your question.
Yes, I would like to make a comment first.
Sure.
When you were going through this plan, as I was writing all this stuff down, this was similar to what I have been doing my prayer time, but I didn't, you know, it wasn't an everyday thing. It was a... If I would remember, I'd do it when I lay down, go to bed. I would do my prayer then, and I would pray for a lot of these things, except for the warfare thing. Really, grasped a hold of me that I really wasn't thinking about, and the time wise, I didn't have a time. I just prayed until I got finished, which I mean, you give space for that, but you can set it for your own life, and that's good. It was kind of encouraging that I was actually on this path, but I wasn't constant, and
right.
That's what bothered me.
Right.
Yeah.
I needed to be more constant in my prayer time instead of just when I remember it or whatever. I need to set a time and a place and actually do it every day. So.
Yeah. And Scott, that's one of the questions I get often is, you know. And that's how the enemy really beats us up is you missed a day. Now, you know, you call yourself a Christian, you missed a day. Well, so do pastors and so do evangelists and so does everybody. I mean, there are times that just life comes at you 1,000 miles an hour and you get way off schedule. So here's what used to happen. Or here's what happens to a lot of people. And it used to happen to me too. Is the enemy would just beat me up over you missed a day, you missed 2 days in a row, you call yourself a preacher. Here's the deal. Just go back to it. Just, you know, yes, you missed a day. You know, yes, your schedule got out of whack. Yes, it got off. Okay, start tomorrow. Don't beat yourself up over, because it almost happens this way. We get embarrassed to go back and pray because we miss, you know, a week or a month or two. Well, just start again tomorrow. You know, God understands it's usually how I start off forgiveness. Lord, I've blown it because I missed, you know, a week, or I missed yesterday, or I missed, you know what? Don't let the guilt of the enemy, which is what he so loves to do to us, keep you from praying.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, just get back at it. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Just back at it, and to make it
get right back at it.
I think having the plan is good too, because you know we're really able to we're able to keep the prayer moving. You know, if I just say, well, I'm gonna pray till I finish. Well, I might get through praise, confession, warfare, and then some phone rings or something happens, and I think, well, I have prayed today, but I didn't do intercession. I didn't do personal requests.
Right.
I didn't do Thanksgiving. So it kind of forms a checklist for a well-rounded prayer. Now, God's not keeping a checklist. This is not about performance, jumping through hoops. The only reason he hears our prayers at all is because we're entering by the blood of Christ, period, by his righteousness. So our mode or method of praying is not necessarily to earn more favor from God or you know, perform at that level. It's really for our benefit and to make sure that we are attending to, as good stewards of that prayer time. I've got another call, and then we'll go into the last section here, but from David, it looks like you're in Georgia, 706-338. David, you're on the line. Give us your comment or question.
Oh, this is John, making your old friend.
Oh, it's John. Okay. All right. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Good, man. Good.
Yeah. Oh, man. Getting a blessing from you. What song was that that you're talking about in the that you used in the confession, or was it the praise one? You used a psalm, and it was in the praise time. I really liked it, but I didn't catch the scripture address.
On the psalm or on the confession time?
I think it was on the praise time. Yeah, because it was a particular psalm. Particular song
the one I start off my praise time with is just Psalm 517 that says, I'll sing praise to thy name, to the name of the Lord Most High, Psalm 517. But really, you can search the Psalms and find a bunch of Psalms in there that really lend themselves to a time of praise.
Okay, good deal, man. Well, thank you, Scott.
Yeah, right. Thank you, John. Thank you very much, brother. All right,
Scott,
well,
let me address.
Can I address two
questions that didn't get asked? One is the posture of prayer. You know, what is your posture, and do you kneel, pray? And I say whatever, wherever you can have the most attention. A lot of times I'll walk and pray with my list.
Mm-hmm.
And that just keeps me moving, and I love doing that. A lot of times, you know, but whatever's good, you can find different postures of prayer in the Bible. If your knees are bad, it's hard to kneel, you know.
Right.
The other thing is, how do you keep a prayer list? And that's the number one question I get on this. And nobody asks it, but I'll just give the options. I have kept it in a notebook. I've got notebooks all over my house that I've bought, you know, Moleskins and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've kept it on the computer, but I don't always pray in front of a computer, and that lends itself to
distractions. For those who don't know, a moleskin is a type of notebook. He's not actually killing moles, although they do all kinds of fun stuff like that down in Georgia. Not literal moleskins.
Not really, right. So, and last year or 2 years ago, I kept my prayer list on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have an iPhone, and it was like a PDF document on there, a note I kept. But then I lost it one day. I had a phone glitch, and I lost it. And that was really aggravating for me. So what I do now is the best thing I've ever done. And I heard another pastor say this. He didn't tell how he did it, but the minute he said it, I said, oh, that makes sense. And I keep my prayer list now on 3x5 note cards.
Hmm.
And I have right now, I'm looking at my prayer list. I probably have about 50 note cards that I have together with, it's not a paper clip, but one of those little paper holder things.
Yeah, the big thick ones.
The big thick
they're
things.
Like,
that
like clamps.
Yeah, a clamp. I've got it held together with a clamp. Now, here's why note cards are great. Because you can interchange them so easily. So I've got a note card on here where I'm interceding for people, and I have marked that thing to pieces where I've scratched it out or answered prayer, and I've wrote a new one over here, and I'm about to replace that note card because it's all scratched up. It lets me put Bible verses in there easily. I hand write out the Bible verse and stick it right there in the warfare time. And I keep all those Bible verses I memorized, like the last five or so, in there so I can repeat them from time to time. It lets me, if somebody gives me a specific request, I write it on a note card and stick it right in there.
There you go.
And it's very low-tech in a day of high-tech, but it has become the best prayer tool, prayer list I've ever used.
Mm.
I love it. I love it. So
that is a great – oh, that's a great tip.
Yeah, and I use it. I tell you what I do is I do different. I bought one of those multicolored packs of note cards, and so like every day is in white, but Mondays are yellow, and Tuesdays are orange, and Wednesdays are green, and so forth. And so it kind of just has a little visual break there. So
excellent.
I'd love to hear from people who tried that to see if they liked it.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. And Let's go ahead and move forward. We've been on here a little over an hour, and I know folks have to get back to work.
Sure.
And different things. We got folks on cell phones burning up minutes and things.
Yeah.
Real quick, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, can they just do that at joelsutherland.com?
Yes, they can. There's a place to email me on there. Look, one of the easiest ways to get in touch with me is friend me on Facebook.
Okay. And look up Joel Sutherland on Facebook.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You and I are friends. If they're friends with you, you know, they can feed over to there, and that may be the easiest way. You can send me a private message or whatever
okay.
they need to do through Facebook.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about five roadblocks. These are not the only roadblocks. Let's just talk about five of the big ones, because what's going to happen is when you decide to pray, the enemy is going to come after you. You know, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I know we're running short on time, so let me just hit these quickly. What will keep us from praying? What stops us from praying? One is no sense of urgency. Jesus told Peter, Satan is coming after you, pray. And Peter did not do it. He had not developed a sense of urgency in his life. I put on Facebook this morning a verse I read yesterday in my quiet time. It's in the New Living Translation, but here's what it says. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers.
Ooh.
The end of the world is coming soon, so be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. If you don't develop a sense of urgency, you will not pray. And for anybody out there that has children or grandchildren, you understand they're growing up quickly. Every day is an opportunity to pray for them.
Yeah.
The kingdom is happening at breakneck speed. Your church needs, there just needs to be a sense of urgency about our prayer lives. There are people who are hurting. You need growth in your life to pray. So just have that sense of urgency, knowing that the end is near. Second thing that'll keep you from praying is sin. Leonard Ravenhill said, a straying man will stop praying and a praying man will stop straying. You know.
Oh, that's good.
You know, you just, if sin will get in your life and you'll get embarrassed to pray, get it confessed. That's why daily confession is so important. Don't let sin stop your prayer life. Get it confessed and get back to your prayer life. Number three is selfishness. James 4:3 says, you're not getting what, and I'm paraphrasing, you don't get what you ask for because you're asking for your own selfish desires. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't pray for our personal request. It just means that your prayer time cannot be centered, you know, 90% around you or me.
Right.
We just, you know, again, you can't treat God like Santa Claus and, Lord, here's what I want. Let me know when it's under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So selfishness. Number four is laziness. Here's what the Lord said in Luke 18. You've got to ask, seek, and knock. You've got to be persistent. You know, you've got to stay focused. You can't. Here's what so many people do, Scott. Well, I prayed yesterday. Why are my prayers not answered? You know, the biblical model in Luke 18 is prayer is literally just consistent over and over and over and over and over and over again, knocking, asking, seeking for God to answer your prayers. And here's what most people miss. God's interested in the relationship you're developing in prayer more than he is specifically answering your prayer. Here's what you'll discover. When you start praying, you will change what you're praying for because of the relationship you've developed with God. You look down at your list and you say, you know what? I've grown in the Lord. That's not even something that should be on my prayer list. And you'll add things to it because you have grown in the Lord. And so that it's that consistent, regular, all the time, not being lazy, but just getting right back to it. And then number five, what'll hinder us from prayer, broken relationships. When we have broken relationships in our lives, we hinder our prayer lives. Peter went as far to say that if a man's not right with his wife, that will hinder his prayers. And probably all the men said, amen. It is hard to pray when you're in your fight with your wife.
And it's not about God turning his nose up at you because you're broken with your wife. Because remember, again, I like to emphasize this because it's a very fundamental part of what I see in Scripture, and that is the only reason our prayers are heard is because of the blood of Christ, never because we've performed well. And so when we don't perform well, it doesn't mean that God's going to turn his nose up at us when we pray. But like you said, if there's stress between me and my wife, it's hard for me to go pray. If there's broken relationships and a root of bitterness in my life, it's hard for me to go pray. How can I say I'm loving God whom I haven't seen well when I'm not loving my brother whom I have seen? So
that's
it's just a fundamental psychological reality.
Yep. And that broken relationship will just keep you from going to the Lord. You won't even go pray. Our kids got a new puppy for Christmas. When the puppy does something wrong, he walks away from me, not to me. Now, I'm not calling us dogs, but I'm just saying we're the same way in prayer with the Lord. When we've got sin in our life, broken relationships, when we're being selfish and we know it and all that stuff, we'll walk away from the Lord, not to him.
That's so true.
So those are the five major roadblocks. There are probably others, but those are just the major ones that Scripture addresses.
So lacking that sense of urgency, which it's easy to do when things are going well. You got a job. A lot of people losing their jobs. Kids are fat and happy and loving the Lord, and there's money in the bank. Yep. Hey, it's hard to stay urgent. And,
that's right. That's right.
And that's why a persecuted church is a praying church. And I wonder what it's going to take for the American church again to have that sense of urgency. Sin.
Wow.
You said is another personal hindrance. Obviously, like you said. A straying man won't pray, but a praying man won't stray. Very good quote. Selfishness, again, being preoccupied with self and the advancement of my own kingdom as opposed to God's kingdom. Laziness, just procrastinating on prayer, basically, not engaging the Lord at that level, and then broken relationships. If anybody has a question about this or a comment or maybe one to add, I want you to feel free to do that. Just press *6 on your phone. *6 will put you in the question queue. Then we'll unmute you and let you ask your question or your comment. Anybody at all. *6 will put you in queue for questions. Anybody at all? Joel, do you have anything you want to add while we're giving people time to come into the queue if they want to? Any kind of wrap up statement on it?
No, Scott, let me say this. I think it's great that we have these dozens of people online today who are that concerned about not only their own personal prayer life, but maybe helping others. And one of the things I'd say is, again, this is not the plan. It's just a plan. If you want to subtract or add to it or whatever. But once you get what works for you right and you kind of develop that comfort zone, share it with other people.
Absolutely.
Take this and share it with family or share it with, your Sunday school class or share it with, your church, whatever. Just share it with other people and help them pray because America needs the church praying.
Boy, that's good. That's so true. We've got one question in queue from an area code 478-955. You are unmuted. Feel free to comment or ask your question. Go right ahead.
This is Jan Morton. I'm just a friend of Brother Joel's. He was a
Jan.
Pastor. I have absolutely loved this. This is great. And Brother Scott, I don't know if you know me, but I know you. You've preached at Second Baptist many times.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank y'all for this. And I serve in women's ministry at my church, and I know this is an area of concern for young moms, and they
yes.
beat themselves up all the time, just don't have time, don't have time. And I love something you said earlier, Brother Scott, about those arrow prayers. And I've told them there may not be that time. And it's a season. I'm older. My children are grown. And I encourage them in that it's a season. And just pray
right.
when you're folding those diapers. Pray when you're making those bottles. Pray when you're rocking that baby. God honors it. He knows what you want to do. And you love on that baby. And pray for that baby while you're holding it. You may not have that quiet,
that's
isolation
right.
time.
That's
but
right.
God's going to honor it. And it's just a season. And one day they'll have all the time they need.
You know, that's,
right, that's
so good and so true and so encouraging to them. You know, if they were to take a 3x5 card, just write praise, confession, warfare, intercession, prayer request,
amen.
A personal request, thanksgiving, tape it to the side of their Huggies box,
amen.
And over the course of a day, shoot up a prayer around each theme, you know, just and so over the course of a day, they've hit prayer, confession, warfare, intercession, prayer request, thanksgiving
sure.
every time they change a diaper or whatever,
that's
you know,
right.
there are little things you can do like that. Maybe it's not 17 compact minutes, but
that's
maybe
right.
it's 17 minutes spread
that.
Over the day.
That's right.
right.
And God's not mad at them. They're raising children.
That's
doing
exactly.
what they're supposed to be doing. It's okay.
That's right. That's
do
exactly
it.
Right.
But anyway, I didn't know if a woman could get on here and talk, but I just.
Hey.
Hey. You can. You can talk
hey,
all you want. You can talk
let
all you want.
This.
As long as your head's covered. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, thank you for
that.
Because so you keep encouraging those women. They need it.
I'm going to. Yes, I am. Thank you.
Scott, let me say this about that, about being busy. This is Joelology. But for that mother or that person who is incredibly busy, they got 1,000 things going on, versus the person who's got all the time in the world, you almost get the impression as a parent that you know, for my own child, If my child goes out of the way in their busy lives to bless me and love me, that means more than the one just laying around, you know, who could do it but doesn't, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say that to say for that mother who's struggling to find or that man who's struggling to find the time and their life is turned upside down, you know, they may get a little more favor than people who've got all the time in the world and pray.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God sees that and knows that. The other thing you said that I think is a great, I've never done this, but I thought about it. Here's the beauty of the index card. Write out your whole prayer list, 50 cards, 20 cards, whatever it would be. And what if you just grabbed the first card and walked and kept it with you till you had prayed that? So like you said, the mother, you know, put it on the Huggies. Or when you finish prayer, when you finish praise, grab confession.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk around till you get that done, or put it in your pocket till that's done. You may pray from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night to get the 17 minutes in, or 15 or 30. But you know, at least you're making an attempt at doing it.
Yes, that's so good. We got a question from 336-621-4387. You are unmuted. Go ahead and make your comment or ask your question.
All right, this is David from Hines Chapel in Greensboro.
All right.
Yeah. Sometimes we pray and we don't, the Lord doesn't answer our prayer like we pray. I do a ministry. I go to the hospitals and pray with people when they have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to come out. Everything goes well. We praise the Lord for the surgery went well, you know.
Right.
A while back,
mm-hmm.
the surgery didn't come out too well. The guy was paralyzed. And it kind of dampens you. You know, you throw us all in the Lord's will and all that stuff, but sometimes it's kind of hard to pray again. You know,
mm-hmm.
you thank the Lord for what he's done, but you know that it was, and you know God's got a reason for it, but sometimes it kind of cramps your style next time you give the Lord a prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
David, you know that's really true, and I think I would even add that as a sixth roadblock, and that is discouragement in prayer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, and I know that's been one for me. I've personally wrestled with the fact that there's been oftentimes I've prayed for a specific thing and the opposite happened.
Yeah.
With no remedy. I don't mean the opposite happened and then it eventually worked out. I mean the opposite happened and it never changed. And I saw that and I was, trying to work through that. Okay, God, sometimes I feel like I offer up the prayer and then the opposite is what comes. And so discouragement in prayer can set in, and I think all of us have dealt with that at one time or another in one form or another. And it can be a roadblock or a hindrance, because really in those times our faith is being tested.
Yeah.
And we have to just come back to the Lord to say, you know what, there are two things I'm sure of in my life that I'm going to make up my mind to have faith in regardless, and that is you're sovereign, you're in control, and number two, you're good. God, you are good. And anything that you're allowing in my life, any answer you send, even if it's one I don't agree with, there's something from your goodness in that. And ultimately, all things are going to be redeemed when he comes again. And so we just have to trust for that, that all things really do work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose.
I understand that, but it's hard for people you're praying for to understand it. It didn't come out so good, you know.
It is, and honestly, we tell people we're praying for them, and a month later we find them, and the opposite happened, and they're looking at us saying,
yeah,
you said you'd pray for me. That really helped. Thanks.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we don't have to defend the Lord. He has a way of working out, you know, his glory in their life. But and I know that's obviously not what you're saying, but you're very true.
Well, this guy
has.
He's praised the Lord ever since he's been in the hospital the whole time, and he's been up in church. He's walking now. He was paralyzed from neck down. He's walking now with a crutch or so. You know, Lord really abused him. So, you know.
Wow. Fantastic.
Well, and Scott, I would say this too. I think the Bible says, be thankful in all things, not for all things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can always find something to be thankful for, even in the midst of bad situations.
Right.
But as a pastor, I was very transparent in my praying. There are times that I came out of that same hospital with a family. And I would, when I prayed with the family, I would say, Lord, I do not understand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
So I don't have an answer. I don't even know what to say, Lord, but thank you for being in control. And, you know, through the process, help us grow closer to you through the process. You know, because there's just times you're at a loss for words. That's
oh,
what
yeah.
Romans 8 talks about. You know, when you want to pray and you don't know what to pray, that's even
right.
what the Holy Spirit is for, you know, to make intercession without words, so.
Right. Well, David, thank you for that. Keep ministering for the Lord, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're going to clicking off the Q&A section there. You guys have been so faithful to be on here and stay. We still have a ton of people that have stuck around. Joel, any last words on
No, again, if anybody has a question, they can contact me, you know, a comment or something they want to discuss further. They can go to my website and contact me through that, or they can – really the easiest way and the way I'm most likely to respond, if you're on Facebook, you know, send me a message on Facebook, friend me and send me a message, and I'll get back to you that way.
Yeah, and you don't even have to be friends on Facebook to actually
message
someone.
No,
so a lot of people don't know that, but you
That's
if
right.
you are on Facebook but don't want to be Joel's friend and just want to send him a message, you can do that.
I love it.
No, actually, Joel friends everybody. He's a Facebook fanatic, so go over there and do that. Look up Joel Sutherland. Sutherland is spelled like South at the beginning, S-O-U-T-H.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, of course, joelsutherland.com has a contact page where you can contact him that way. Folks, thank you so much. Thank you for supporting our ministry. You know, we're in our 16th year now on the road full time, and this is the first time in a long time I've had contact with some of you, because it's been a while maybe since I've been to your church, and I just want to say thanks for coming on the call. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for sharing the link on Facebook. We had more people on the call than we would have because a lot of you shared the link or tweeted about it on Twitter. We thank you for that. As we make recordings available of this call, we'll be letting you know, because as you registered, you obviously got into the database as a registrant, so we'll be able to follow up and contact you with any developments we do in terms of getting the recording up and that sort of thing. Thank you so much, everybody. We really, really appreciate it. Joel, man, thanks a lot. This has been very, very helpful.
I've loved it.
Literally written this outline up on my whiteboard here in my office as you've been talking, and
wow.
It's going to stay up there for a while, because I think that's something that's good that I want to keep in front of me, and I know
that's
a lot
awesome.
Of folks on the call are going to do the same thing, so thank you.
No problem. It's my honor, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll look for some more great stuff coming in 2012. Keep your eye on your email inbox, and we'll be seeing you guys out there on the road. God bless you all. Thanks for giving us some of your time today, and have a great, great week ahead.